Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. One second. Okay. Text 33. Shri Bhagavam's Charanadita Eva Bhaktayam Prapancha Adhikariniyam Tasyam Dakshinyam Landitum Nashaknoti Tata Tadbayenapi Jivanam Swasamukhyam Vansham Upadishati Daivi Hyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratnyaya Mameva Ye Prapadyante Mayam Etam Tarantite And Satam Prasangan Mama Firya Samvido Bhavanti Vitkarna Rasayana Kataha Tajoshanad Ashvapa Varga Vartmani Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Ranukramishyati Iti Cha. Translation. Nor can the Lord fail to be kindly disposed to her, Maya, the presiding deity of matter, his servant since before the creation. He desires, moreover, that the jivas turn back toward him, even if only out of fear of her. Thus he instructs, this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. And in the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead was very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, a person gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Okay. These two verses are cited to demonstrate from the Bhagavatam how the Lord doesn't fail to have a good attitude toward Maya. She's his servant, faithful servant, and therefore he supports her. Mama Maya, it's my Maya. Now what does the second verse have to do? Let's see what why the second verse has to do with this. Let's see what... I'm a Vargavartman, yeah. Anyway, the sentence before that is, he desires, moreover, that the jivas turn back toward him. So, in reference to the statement that the Lord wants that the living entities come back to him. And that is being described in both those verses. The second verse describes how the living entities travel on the path in which they find faith, attraction, and pure devotion. That's the path back to Krishna. So Krishna's very interested in getting people back on that path. Okay, I'll quote it, wait to the end of the energy? Yeah. Unless it's, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah, immediate problem. Go ahead. Yes?
Nor can the Lord, so if you like something? Is it something neither?
Oh, because
close?
We said before that she, even though what she's doing is a thankless task, she can't tolerate. She does her duty because she can't tolerate the living entities who are rebellious against Krishna, and also he doesn't fail to support her. She does her, even though it's a thankless task, she does it enthusiastically, and he supports her. So that's the nor clause. You know, Maya doesn't get discouraged in doing her duty, and the Lord doesn't fail to be kindly disposed to her.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Like, she's the same about her job, but he's happy to look at her anyways.
Yeah, but correct, yeah. But let's finish the entertainment. Finish the entertainment, then general discussion. Okay. 33.2. Lilaya Sriman Vyasarupena tu Vishishtataya tad Upadishnavan Ityanantaram Evayasya Tanarto Pashamam Sakshad Tasman Dwayorapi Tat Tat Samanjasam Gyeyam Nanu Maya Kalu Shakti Shaktischa Karyak Shamatvam Cha Dharma Visheshaha Tasya actually Tasya Katam Lajadikam Uchite Evam Satyapi Bhagavati Tasam Shakti Nam Adishtatri Devya Shriyande Yata Keno Upanishadi Mahindra Maya Yo Sambadaha Tadastam Pastutam Pastuyate. The Supreme Lord in his pastime known as Sriman Vyasa taught the above most explicitly. So Krishna says something about how living entities are in Maya. It's his Maya. She's just doing her job. But he's trying to get them out of that Maya, and he helps them. So Vyasadev taught all about that. He perceived it in his meditation, and he based the Bhavatam on this whole process of getting the living entities out of Maya. So we'll see later, we will see this later, we'll see how Vyasadev taught about the living entities' predicament in Maya and how they get out of it. We will see this later when we discuss the text. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated. That's in the same passage. This is the sixth verse. The first, fourth verse is Bhakti Yogena Manasi. He saw and he looked and saw such and such in his meditation. Two verses later, talks about the material miseries of the living entities, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated. Bhakti Yoga, by Bhakti Yoga. Thus, the behavior of both the Lord and Maya is appropriate. But, someone may question, Maya is an energy. And energy means a capacity to do work, which is a particular quality of something. How can Maya feel shame and other emotions if she's just an energy and not a person? How is she feeling shame and other emotions? Our answer is that even though Maya is in fact an energy of the Lord, we hear from Shruti authority about the presiding goddesses of numerous such energies, as, for example, in the conversation between Indra and Maya in the Kena Upanishad. In any case, let us now return to our main topic. We've been talking about Maya, so we'll go back to the main topic of talking about the Bhagavatam. And now we read the commentary. In the ultimate issue, the personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. His personal energies help him in his activities, but at the same time are dependent on him, their absolute origin and controller. The Lord's internal energy arranges his pleasures in the spiritual world. His external energy creates and rules the material world. The jivas who belong to his marginal energy are free to subordinate themselves to either of the Lord's ruling energies, the internal or external. Maya, being a pure devotee of the Lord, does not like to see anyone suffer, but as unpleasant as it may be, imprisoning and punishing the souls who turn away from God is her service to him. She performs this service only because the Supreme Lord wills her to. The Lord wants every one of his creatures to be happy always, but true happiness outside voluntary loving service to him is impossible. He deputizes Maya to teach this lesson to the forgetful jivas by various means. Those who are sufficiently intelligent can learn simply by hearing from Vedic authority, while others need to be instructed more sternly. The world was created not for only for our material enjoyment and suffering, but much more importantly, for our spiritual re-education. Bud indriyamanak pranan jananama svijat prabhu matrartam jabavartam cha atmane kalpanaya cha. The Supreme Lord manifested the material intelligence, senses, mind, and vital air of the living entities so they could indulge their desires for sense gratification, take repeated births, to engage in fruitive activities, become elevated in future lives, and ultimately attain liberation. That's the 87th chapter of the 10th canto, the chapter in which we find the prayers of the personified Vedas. Continuing, the jivas who learn to properly fear Maya become interested in taking shelter of the personality of Godhead, and the Vedas teach them to do so by keeping company with his pure devotees. Tadvidi pranipatena. Learn the science of spiritual reformation by submitting to the guidance of self-realized Vaishnavas. Mature, pure devotees of the Lord constantly chant his glories. But even in the company of immature devotees, who still waste time talking about mundane concerns, eventually one will hear the glories of the Lord. This glorification of the Supreme Lord, Sankirtana, is the most potent spiritual medicine. It is the specific tonic for counteracting all material infirmities of the ear and the heart. Applied to the ear according to the standard prescription, this tonic quickly travels to the heart, where the best of purifiers is present to assist the cure. Srimata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hridyantaksto Hyabhadrani Vidunoti Sudit Satam. Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Sometimes by his words and sometimes by his actions, each time the Supreme Lord appears in this world, he gives instructions for the jiva's salvation. I want to make that plural, jivas. So I'm making a minor change here. S apostrophe. Krishna, the original form of the Lord, spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and his literary incarnation, Dvaipayana Vedavyas, systematically taught Vedic knowledge to the human society in Kali Yuga. Because Srila Vyasa is the first of our spiritual preceptors, the seat occupied by any bona fide acharya is honored as the Vyasa Asana. Maya is also our teacher. But some may question how she can have intentions and feelings if she is merely energy, an inert thing. Energies are specific qualities of substantial entities, like a fire's heat or a person's enthusiasm. One of the most consistent themes of the Vedas, however, is that every aspect of natural energy in this world has its presiding deity, a living being who regulates and administers it. Srila Jiva Goswami tells us, for example, that in the Keno Upanishad, Maya appears in person. She is the deity of the total material energy and is also known as Uma, the daughter of the Himalaya Mountains and the wife of Lord Shiva. What follows is a conversation between Indra and Uma from the Keno Upanishad, chapter 3, verse text 1 to chapter 4, text 2. Here's the actual text. Brahmaha deve bhyo vijigye tasya brahmano vijaye deva amahiyanta ta aikshantasmakam evayam vijayosmakam evayam mahimeti. Once the Supreme fought on behalf of the gods and won victory for them. By this victory of the Supreme, the gods became glorified. They thought, this is our own victory and our own glory. Tadaisham vijagyao te pyoha padur babuva tanavyajananta kimidam yakshamiti. The Supreme understood their mentality and so manifested himself before them. The gods, however, did not recognize the Supreme. They asked, who is this Yaksha? Tegnim abhuvan jata veda etad vijanihi kimetad yakshamiti tateti. They told the fire god Agni, O knower of everything created, find out who this Yaksha is. He answered, yes, I will do it. Tad abhyadravatam abhyavadat ko sit yagnir va aham asmit yabravid jata veda va aham asmiti. Agni came before the Yaksha, who asked him, who are you? Agni replied, I am indeed the god of fire. I know everything created. Tasmim stvayikim viryam ityapidam sarvam daheyam yadidam prativyamiti. What power do you possess? Indeed, I can burn anything that exists in the world. Tasmai trinam nidadav etad daheti tad upa prayaya sarvajavena tanna shashaka dagdum satata eva nivavrite. Naitad ashakam vigyatam yaretad yaksham iti. The Yaksha placed a blade of grass in front of Agni and said, burn this. Agni approached the grass and tried with all his might, but could not. Returning to the gods, he told them, I could not discover who this Yaksha is. Atavayum abruvan vayav etad vijanihi kimetad yaksham iti tateti. Then they told the wind god Vayu, O wind, find out who this Yaksha is. He answered, yes, I will do it. Tad abhyadravatam abhyavadat kositi vayur va aham asmit yabravin matarish va va aham asmiti. Vayu came before the Yaksha, who asked him, who are you? Vayu replied, I am indeed the god of the wind. I am the swift traveler of outer space. Tasmim stvayi kim viryam ityapidam sarvam adadiya yadidam prithivyamiti. What power do you possess? Indeed, I can lift up anything that exists in this world. Tasmai trinam nidadave tad adat sveti tata upa priyaya sarva javena tanna shashak adatum satata eva nivavrite naitad ashakam vigatum yaditad yakshamiti. The yaksha placed a blade of grass in front of Vayu and said, "Lift this." Vayu approached the grass and tried with all his might to lift it, but could not. Returning to the gods, he told them, "I could not discover who this yaksha is." Atain drum abhuvan mogovan etad vijanihi kimetad yakshamiti tateti tad abhyadravat tasmad tiro dadade. Wait a minute, there's too many does there. Dadad, there is an extra da, right? It's not three does. Tiro dade. Oh boy. You sure? Dade. That's perfect of da? Not dadade. Okay. Okay. It's tiras. Tiras is the prefix. Then they told Indra, "O munificent king of the gods, find out who this yaksha is." Indra answered, "Yes, I will do it." Indra approached the yaksha, but as soon as he came near, the yaksha disappeared. Satasmin eva kashe striyama jagama bahusho vamanam umang haimavatim tam hobacha kimetad yakshamiti. Just then a resplendent woman appeared in the sky above that place. She was Uma, daughter of the Himalayas. Indra approached her and asked, "Who was that yaksha?" Sa brahmeti hovacha brahmano va etad vijaye mahi advam iti tato haiva vidam chakara brahmeti. She told him, "This was the Supreme. By that Supreme's victory only have you, the gods, become glorious." Thus Indra could understand, that was the Supreme. Tasmat va ete deva atitaram ivanyan devanyadagnir yavayur indras tena yenan nidishtam pasprishus te yetad pratamo vidam chakara brahmeti. Therefore these gods, Agni, Vayu, and Indra, are greater than the other gods, for they came into close contact with the Supreme, and they were the first to understand, this is the Supreme. Okay, what we find out from this is Maya appearing as a person. Maya is not just an inert energy. She's one of the principal deities. She's capable of even giving instructions to Indra. Okay, any discussion? Yes.
In this quote, we don't see explicitly the word Maya, but Uma. Does that really make any difference? No.
I don't know. You could argue that this is not Maya, this is somebody else. Mm. But this is Upanishads. We take help from the commentaries by the Vaishnava Acharyas, who tell us it's Maya. It's the wife of Lord Shiva. Uma, daughter of Himalayas, is Lord Shiva's wife, Parvati. And you should know without being told here, you learned it from elsewhere, that Parvati is the controlling deity of the material universe. It's just being, that she is Maya, that's not in question here, but what was questioned, whether she's a person or just an innate energy, inert energy. Not whether she's Maya or not, but whether that Maya is a person. But you can argue, you can bring up another argument about how this is somebody else, it's not really Maya. But our acharyas settle that for us, they tell us, yes, it's Maya. Okay.
Also, just put this all into perspective. This is, last few anucheds was an explanation of There is bhakti yogi na manasi.
Yes.
And this but part
there,
is mayam.
We went off in a something of a tangent discussion about the nature of material energy.
Maya etam, was it mayam khitam? Maya.
What?
Maya tad apekshayam.
Yes.
So this was a whole discussion on Maya, explaining what Maya is.
Yes.
And the rest will explain the other verses.
Now we go back to the verses, yeah. We just took a little side trip to clarify Maya's identity. Okay, so Tishru. Can you send the mic over there to Satish? I'm sorry, it's not Satish. Okay. I'm sorry. I might have my glasses on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In the text, there is says this we answer that even though Maya is in fact energy, still we hear from Shruti authority that the presiding goddesses of such energies. So the Maya is, I assume that there is only one goddess who is presiding deity of Maya. But
yes.
Here is in plural goddesses of such energies. So who are the other Mayas?
Well, there are other energies. There are Parasya Shakti or Vividaiva. The Supreme has various energies. Some of them are material, some of them are spiritual, but each of them have so many subdivisions. Both the material and spiritual have their sub-energies. Maya is the total energy of everything material, but then there are specific material energies, which are expansions. And she's an expansion of the spiritual energy. So there's many different energies manifested. They're all connected, related.
So the initial mention of Maya, which is in fact an energy that is in singular, and then later about the presiding goddesses of such energies.
Yeah, because there are more than one goddess.
So one Maya becomes, she expands into more material energies.
Yes, she does. That is said elsewhere. I think that's okay. We understand, I mean, we've been told that already, that both the spiritual and material energy expanded to many forms. Because there's many Gunas, many Durgas. You can find, you know, many different kinds of forms of Durga, of Maya. You see that so many temples, one form she's nice, looks nice, the other form she looks ugly, and or she's got 10 weapons or 2 weapons or 4, you know, different forms.
Also in commentary, one of the paragraphs says about how Maya is our teacher and explanation is given.
Yes.
But even if Maya is teaching the lesson, until devotees interfere with the life of a jiva and they teach him that this is Maya and you have to get away, then the jiva may not understand that this is Maya's actually teaching. So even though Maya is giving a hard time to all the people and trying to correct them, until a devotee comes in between their life and teaches him, he will not understand this, isn't it?
You can begin to understand before meeting a proper spiritual master. The verse Tadvigyan Artam, or rather Parikshad Lokan Karma Chitan Niredamad Ayat Nastrikitak Kritena. Somebody just with his own intelligence has got some common sense, sees how everything you can achieve by material activities is temporary and limited in scope, and therefore becoming disinterested in it. Even on your own you can figure out that much. That everything in this world is useless. Then, the second half of the verse says, then go find a spiritual master, when you've discovered that much. There are many pessimists in the world who have no clue to real spiritual life, but they know everything is horrible. And so they want to kill themselves, or get drunk, or just, you know, sit in the corner and mope. It's the first stage of spiritualization, is to get disgusted with everything material. That you can realize on your own. Now to start getting any positive information about spiritual life, that you need a spiritual master for, or Vaishnavas to tell you.
But you begin on your own to loosen up your attachment to Maya. Maya helps you with that. She lets you know how disgusting everything material is. She makes sure you learn that. That way you can learn without a spiritual master. Maya is acting as our spiritual master up to that point.
Sometimes we see some pious people who always do, pious activities, and they get good reactions and like they enjoy materially, and so on and on they continue like this for several, they go to heavenly planets and come back and again enjoy. So for them it's even more difficult.
It can be a worse situation. Better to have at least some suffering. No suffering, you're really in a dangerous situation. If Maya doesn't give you some suffering, then you'll be satisfied to stay as you are. So we need some suffering to impel us to want to get out of this world. If the prison is designed in such a way that it's like a free hotel, and it's a very nice place to be, people will go out of their way to commit crimes to get sent to prison. We don't want that. We want to discourage people from going to prison. And we want to make a punishment out of it, so that people won't do the same thing to get back into the prison again. Like that, Maya has to make us suffer, otherwise we'll think this is a free hotel, material world. And we want to do whatever we can to stay here forever. Yeah, so you're unfortunate if you don't have any suffering. Really unfortunate.
That's what we can see in the present world. That's what's happening with the advancement of science and technology. So many different ways of
avoiding suffering,
enhancing like material sense gratification, and they are all like
and avoiding discomfort.
Yeah, so it's increasing more and more every day by the increase of technology and so on.
Yeah, the people who have more technology, they're the least inclined. The more in technology, the less inclination for spiritual life. Devotees who preach in third world countries know. Once they bring electricity to the village, then the preaching's pretty much dragged down. You can't preach so well to people who have electricity. What to speak of, all other technology. Yeah, okay. Satish.
I heard one story from Mahabharata. There is a Yakshas quiz. The question asked by Yaksha to Pandavas. This Yaksha or this Yaksha, both are same or?
No, because that other Yaksha was Yamaraj, Yudhisthira's father, Yamaraj, Dharmaraj. I guess Yamaraj. Yamaraj is Yudhisthira's father.
So what is the meaning of Yaksha?
Yaksha is just... Yakshas and Rakshasas are semi-demigods. They live in the Bhuvarloka. They're more powerful than human beings, but not as powerful as real demigods. This is a minor demigod. There's plenty of Yakshas, millions of them. So two different Yakshas are not necessarily the same person. And they were disguised as Yakshas. Actually, the one in the Mahabharata, first of all, he disguised himself as a swan, and then he turned into a Yaksha, but it was really Yamaraj in disguise. And this Yaksha in the Kena Upanishad is actually Brahman, the Absolute Truth. Okay. So over here.
It's about the story from Kena Upanishad. It seems that Vayu, he is also failed to recognize Supreme Lord, although in Madhvacharya's theory, Vayu, he has a special position, like he is embodiment of Mukhya Prana. I don't remember exactly details, but he's in very, very high position, even higher than Lord Brahma,
yes.
I think. So, but in this pastime, it seems that he is not somebody special.
Here's a guess. I'm just guessing
.
What they probably say, what I think they might say, the Madhvites, is that the Vayu in this story is just an expansion. It is material expansion, it's not the original Vayu. Okay, something like that, I'll say. Yeah, the real Vayu wouldn't be so silly. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu, Nityananda.
So he quotes two verses. One is Daivihi Esha.
Yes, Gita.
It looks like this verse actually illustrates the point in the in his statement. Tadbhayena api, even out of fear of him, he wants them to jivas to turn back to him. Yes. Means by any means.
Right.
So, but and then he gives another verse, Satam Prasangan, which concentrates on the development of rest. So looks like it, he kind of wants to show by quoting the second verse so that Lord doesn't want to keep the souls with him just because, how to say, that the souls stay, that the souls turn to him just because of fear. He ultimately he wants them to regain their prema.
Yes.
Is that because it seems to me that's the logic why he put.
Yeah, Krishna doesn't want to just beat us and doesn't want to beat us into submission. Yeah. That is only for those who are sinful. If a person will simply be obedient to the laws of nature, then he doesn't have to be submitted to suffering. He can be educated in a positive way. Some suffering will be there. Trouble, he has to take the trouble to do his duty. At least he's dutiful. Therefore, he can avoid the suffering of sinful reactions. But what Krishna really wants is that we become attracted to him, to hearing about him, to serving him. This purification is just to make it possible to come up to the real success of life, of becoming Krishna conscious, of course. Yes.
Actually, I revised quickly and I saw that this whole elaboration was on the point that they're bewildered, the jivas are bewildered by Maya. Maya samohita jiva.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're starting a discussion on that verse.
Yeah, but the second verse doesn't talk about that.
Maya Sangan
doesn't mention anything about bewilderment.
Well, I'm saying that this whole conversation... All conversation about Maya and the way she bewilders.
Yes, that's a general topic.
Understand. Yeah.
It comes from, the mention that Maya is there, standing behind him, and that she bewilders living entities.
Yeah.
So now the discussion turned to identifying Maya. You know, that she's a person, that she's doing her service, the Lord doesn't mind, he supports her, and she's very dutiful and faithful to him. That's all discussed to make us understand who this Maya is. Then more will be stated about that, about how the living entity, especially the next Anuchet will discuss how definitely living entity and the Supreme Lord are different. Especially since Maya is ashamed to stand in front of the Supreme Lord, but she very eager to go ahead and do her job of deluding the living entities. So her relationship to the Supreme Lord and her relationship to the conditioned souls is completely different. She controls them and she's embarrassed to even stand in front of him. That will be discussed in the next Anuchets. And the Mayavadi misconceptions will be defeated. Okay. Sarvagya Prabhu.
Just to, if I understand properly this context, so we know this verse, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shritavyam Kitidavya Smritavyam Chichhata Bhayat. One who wants to be freed from fear of this material world, he has to always be engaged in devotional service by Shravanam Kirtanam. So this seems to be like some external cause for starting devotional service, and this causes, it's caused by Maya because of all suffering in this world. Maya, this fear arises. So, and then when one advances in devotional service, he by hearing of Krishna, he gets some taste, and because of this taste, he develops some more positive attitude toward Krishna. He serves him not because he wants to be freed from suffering, but because he wants to serve him, to love him. So,
well,
is it the same case?
Anartho Pashamam. First consideration is that there should be some remedy. That we're in a unnatural, unpleasant condition, and we need to fix it. that something's wrong and it needs to be fixed. That's the first recognition. So Maya is teaching us that this is not the right way to go about living your life. You know, I let you try it, but now you discovered it just creates suffering to be in illusion. So the question arises, what solution can we find for our predicament? That much Maya teaches us. But to learn what the solution might be, that we need Guru Shastra Sadhu. Maya's working together with them. She sets living entities up so they have the desire to find some solution. Then the demand is there for a solution. The Vedas come forward, the Vaishnavas come forward offering solution. But first of all, the demand for a solution is stimulated by Maya. I think that's how it works.
And this in the next verse, Tampasangam Amiris Mito, it gives a solution. What is the solution? Association with Sadhu and hearing about Krishna from them.
Yes. Well, okay, and in Vyasadeva's trance, his contribution to the solution is providing the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is part of the solution. Yes. Vishnu Kanta.
It's interesting that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita there is a glorification of Maya and Lord Shiva, that they have the potency to give liberation, not just the impersonal liberation, even the Vaikuntha liberation to the souls who,
yes,
they have this potency. So how does it work? Like Maya, does she also like preach Krishna consciousness and make devotees like that? I mean, how does she send people to Vaikuntha?
Yes, she does some preaching to some. They're agents for dispensing liberation. They're just doing it as franchise. You know, they're authorized to give out liberation. But they don't actually decide themselves. They just follow the guidelines, who's eligible. And they dispense it. They're just handing it out. They're just the deliverers. They're delivering the liberation, which is really coming from Vishnu. So Lord Shiva definitely preaches to some Vaishnavas. But I don't know, this is Shiva Sampradaya, but I don't know about a Durga Sampradaya of Vaishnavas. I didn't hear that. So maybe she preaches to some, but she doesn't have a whole Sampradaya. Mainly, she will ask her husband to benedict somebody. She'll just speak to her husband about somebody.
I think it's in Brihad Bhagavatamritam,
yes,
that Maya, in one of his form, she gave this mantra to this Brahmana from.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, so.
But she didn't preach much to him. She gave him the mantra,
yeah,
but didn't explain much about it.
Yeah.
He had to learn later on who the deity is and what's the proper way to chant the mantra. She didn't give instructions on that. So she gave him the mantra, but didn't explain much else.
At least she does this much.
Yeah, well, she gave Diksha. And I'm sure she preaches to somebody. Like, you know. Yes, go ahead. Yes, Kalanandapur?
In case of Chandidas, how he became a devotee.
Chandidas?
Yeah, it's...
He was worshipping Chandi?
No, he was worshipping Chandi then. How he became the devotee of Lord Krishna. So I was thinking, she preached or to Chandidas or
yes, that's a case of Maya preaching. Chandidas, the poet. Yes, one of Lord Chaitanya's favorite poets. The actual story is? Okay, we're not sure. Matsu will tell us the story.
Chandidas, he was a devotee of Chandi Durga, and he had a big garden, and he was offering so many flowers and doing very opulent worship of her. But he had a brother who was a poor Vaishnava, and his mother was so poor that he didn't even have any flowers to offer to Vishnu. So one time, when the poor brother was in his brother's flower garland, he mentally picked a flower from the garden, and in his mind he offered it to Vishnu. And then the next day, when the Chandidas was doing his puja, he managed to pick that same flower and put it on the offering plate to Durga, and he offered it to Durga. And then Durga appeared out of her deity form and she said, "Today, Chandidas, I'm very pleased with you." And Chandidas said, Oh, what did I do today that was so special? I just did the same thing I did every other day." And she explained that today you offered me some Vishnu Mahaprasada, so I'm very, very happy with you. And then she explained that actually Vishnu is my master. And then Chandidas said, "Well, why didn't you tell me this before?" And she said that, "You weren't ready, I was just giving you some training." And anyway, he went on to become a Vaishnava.
Okay, there's Maya preaching. Yes, Vishnu God.
We see instances in Bhagavatam how even the gopis were worshipping Katyayani and Rukmini,
yes,
was worshipping Durga.
Yes.
But actually they themselves are the spiritual manifestation of the Katyayani and Durga. So it's surprising to see the spiritual energy is the same Shakti Tattvas. They are worshipping the material Shakti Tattvas. So how we can reconcile this?
They do that to make you surprised. They do it to create dramatic impression. Just to get you surprised, they do it.
It may be according to the social customs that unmarried girl, she goes and worships to.
Yes, it's common. It's common, but it's like highlighted, emphasized. Yeah, it becomes a major pastime. This is very amazing. The gopis are worshipping their own expansion. Yes.
There's also another interesting pastime. One of the, I think, Vadiraja, someone, he says in a song that Lord Shiva and Parvati, after they saw the Narsingha's, Lord Narsingadev's appearance, they, after he cooled down and he was like blessing them, each demigod went and asked boon, and then he gave, and Lord Shiva and Parvati went and asked Narsingadev that, "You should come to our house once and have prasadam with us." So Narsingadev once goes to Kailash, and Parvati, she serves him prasadam, and he's very happy with that.
Oh, where's that?
It's Vadiraja's song, Lakshmi
Sobhane. Vadiraj, yes. Nice.
Since we're under discussion, this is interesting. First time I thought of also is that Nahala Muni, he got a mantra from Shiva. And by this mantra, he saw the Rasa dance on Radha Krishna Lila.
By
the story, that's the story of Radha, of Narada Vanu, is that Narada was chanting the mantra given by Shiva, because he asked him, "I want to see Radha Krishna." He says, "Okay, here's a mantra." And then he chanted this mantra when the Devi came. And says, "Okay, you want to see Radha Krishna? Come and dip in the Kushum Savara." Came out as Naradi. He went to Radhakund, saw the passage, Radha Krishna came back and wrote Narada Bhakti Shruti.
Okay, so, I'm sorry, Parvati was also preaching to him?
No, not Shiva.
Okay,
But Shiva's mercy to God.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
We can also try that.
Okay.
Try to get Lord Shiva's mercy to see Radha Krishna, or to serve them.
At least. This leads to another discussion. Maybe it's not time, but
go ahead.
I'll offer the question. Is that this question about one's like Stahi Bhava, one's eternal constitutional position? And Narada, he's known as to be eternal, like Dasya Rasa. of Narayan, but even him had access to at least witness for some time. Narada Muni.
Narada Muni, yes.
And even him had heard about Radhakrishna, desired to see them, and by some mercy got to take part in it for some time.
For some time, but that's that's not sthayi bhava.
Yeah.
It's a bhava, but it's not sthayi.
But still, he can experience these and has knowledge of it. I just thought that was interesting. Past time.
He had to take another body. He had to take a gopi body.
Yeah,
to
become
it.
That adi.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's not a case of changing sarupa, though.
No.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. All right, I guess we'll stop for now. Oh, yeah, thank you. Okay. Part of our curriculum is spoken Sanskrit. We did some revising of how that fits in our program. Question of how much spoken Sanskrit should we have and how much should be required. So what we decided is everybody, to complete the 3-year course, everybody should study the first 2 stages of the spoken Sanskrit course, the Pratama Diksha, or the equivalent of it, and the Dvitiya Diksha. We have our teacher, Dr. Jha, he's now teaching both at the same time, the first level and second level. And he's just beginning the first level from the start again, just started yesterday or the day before. And the second level has been proceeding for how long? Okay, still we have only a fraction of our devotees who are attending either one. So it's your responsibility, if not now, then later, before you finish the 3 years, to go through both of those courses. I would strongly suggest that those who haven't done that take the opportunity to finish up their spoken Sanskrit training. You can take either one of those courses, depending on what level you think you're on. You can sit on either one. Those who have already did some can try to jump into the second level course right now and see whether you can follow it. And those who would like to start again from scratch is a good time to do it. But everybody should come. Everyone should somehow or other finish both of those classes before you leave. You know, if you want to be fully certified as having finished the course, that's part of it. So, and the timing is such that I think you can, you know, you should be able to fit something in, even though you're taking other courses now. You want to clarify when each of those are being taught during the day?
The new one, which is the first level, that's being taught between 2 and 3 p.m. All the new students are going to that, and other people also. Welcome.
Others can. Those who sort of dropped out of the course previously, you can start it over again.
It seems like that one will be more spoken content, whereas the Dvitiya Diksha that's going on is more refining.
Oh.
Some, you know.
Okay.
You speak also?
He gives some new verbs, then we have to speak a sentence.
Okay, so there's still...
It's still spoken emphasis.
Yeah.
We're building up vocabulary.
Vocabulary, right.
And so when in the day is that taught?
Yeah, so that one's a little more complicated. On the days that Prabhuji teaches Kavya, then it's after lunch at 4 p.m. And on the days that he doesn't teach Kavya, then it's in the Kavya slot. 11 o'clock.
No. Okay. Please, don't neglect it. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam. Ki jai.